You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
They give up a lot of 2-0 leads, but they come out and they somehow tie it up. So there is that grind there. This week, non-existent.
But you know what that grind is? There. That grind is to score goals. I'm not disputing their grind when it comes to putting up offense. Do they have the grind to win 1-0? I don't know if they do.
I don't know if they do
I
either.
Don't know if they do.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Ray's coming up live from Nashville. He's calling the game tonight on TSN 4. The Leafs taking on the Predators. This will be a good test, really, for both teams. And the Leafs, we talked about it all day yesterday. Everyone in Toronto is well aware of it. 23 goals in 4 games. That is simply not going to cut it. And they're coming out with all the proper terminology and the cliches about how they're determined to clean it up. And
I love some of the hot takes on it. It's like there's people that just love for the negativity, and they're acting like it's the LA Kings. And I know it was ugly. It was a bad week, but get your head on straight.
I think the only difference.
And I know that you say it's because we're long, tortured Leaf fans.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, the amount of 18-wheeler jokes that are starting to circulate, that is more, that's where I draw the line. This isn't an 18-wheeler. You have no understanding of what a true 18-wheeler going off a cliff looks like, because clearly you weren't a fan 5 years ago when it happened in back-to-back-to-back years. But I think what Leaf fans are concerned about is you start amping yourself up over the course of the year about how talented they are, how good they are, and the potential for them to truly compete for a Stanley Cup. I don't think anybody suggested that they were a lock to do anything. I don't think Tampa's a lock to win the Stanley Cup, and they're the best team in the league. But are Leaf fans living in the moment? Absolutely. Are Leaf fans looking at what's happened recently and the way they play defense and the injuries and the different style, because they're not overly physical at all, and are concerned that it may not work come the playoffs? I don't think that's unreasonable.
It's not.
I don't think that's a hot take or,
we talked
crazy
about that yesterday. If they resemble anything close to this come playoff time, Boston Bruins, you're done in 4.
Absolutely.
Well, you're like right.
But that's a strong take.
But here's...
That's a hot take.
Here's the thing, though. Do you think they played any different defensively this past week than they have all season long? To me, the goaltending hasn't been good. And it's just showing how poorly they play defensively.
And it is showing some it's lack of depth at defense. But Martin Marincin can't play in the NHL.
You're right, but to me it's lack of complete defensive awareness. Like, that's not just on defensive. Like, when Brandon Saad scored the other day against Chicago Blackhawks, he was alone in front of the net, and all 5 players were back. And they were all over to one side of the ice and just puck focused. To me, that's a lack of discipline with your system.
Oh, there were some ugly ones. I went through them all. There was some just...
But that's like, to me...
But I don't think we've seen that. I mean, that's an extreme example.
You're right.
They give up
high quality chances. The only difference is the goaltender has masked them all season long. And now that the goaltender and the goalies haven't played well, that's what you get.
I'll grant you that. For the most part, and especially against a team like Tampa, there is no excuse to lose 6-2 to Ottawa, ever.
No, I agree, but did you see how they managed the puck that night?
Well, exactly, but that's something that they're usually not that bad in that area.
I agree.
Last week was an extreme week of weaknesses being exposed.
And a prime example of it, too, is the Oscar Lindholm's goal where... Matthews puts it on a tee for Nylander. He whiffs on it. They go the other way. Like, chances are on when things are going well for them, Nylander gets a good look or scores on that play. It was just a bad week. But what I'm saying is it's a bad week from the goaltenders. It's a bad week from the players not executing. So they weren't outscoring their issues. To me, there was a balance. If they were scoring at one end, then they weren't giving up as many chances because teams were back on their heels. But they still defend like that. I'm coming back to systematic play. They still play the same way. That's concerning. That's on the coach. That's on the players of dedicating how you want to play You're 10 games out.
Well, how many goals are acceptable to give up tonight? Like, is there a number you have in mind where...
Three
or less. Nashville's pretty good in that building. They're good on home ice. So three or less. And to me, if the Leafs come in and beat them 4-2, and the goaltender plays well, the goaltender's going to have to make some good saves and some big saves at the right time. That's what Freddie does. But if they have holes in their defense and get picked apart, and defensive play, not just defense, and it's a 4 or 5 spot, and they have to maybe win 7-6 or lose 6-5 or something, to me, the deficiencies, the details haven't been focused on.
Well, and I think that may have actually been a negative, the fact that they came back the way they did in against Philly. It might have been better, and Chicago, for that matter.
Yeah.
It might have actually been better long-term if they lost 6-2 to Tampa, 5-0 to Chicago, 5-2 to Philly, 6-2 to Ottawa. But because they scored 4 goals in the third against Chicago and were this close to tying that game, and because they came back and overcame a 3-goal deficit against Philly, in a way, I think they get back into the room, they're like, whatever, man. We can do whatever we want.
It was almost like we know whatever we want. We could have turned it on. We just got to start on time and we'll be fine.
Which is a huge red flag. It's just simply not going to be a realistic expectation come playoff time. Against bad teams, especially bad defensive teams like Chicago, like Philly, do it. You can eat them up all day. Brian Elliott's in net, go ahead.
Yeah.
But wait until you meet the Bruins, who aren't going to give you that.
Right.
They're not going to stop. Right. The Bruins aren't going to sit there in the third and say, we're up by 3, who cares? They're going to keep pushing and keep fighting.
Yeah.
And Tuukka Rask will keep making those stops.
Yeah, you're right, because habits don't, from a positive standpoint, just show up come playoff time. They have to be instilled. And I think, O could speak to this, every skilled guy I ever played with. Defense is just about attention to detail and hard work. And these guys who have high-end skill know how to do it, but it's not their top priority. I used to have these arguments with Jerome Iginla all the time, because Jerome would say, I'm on the wrong side of the puck. I'll cheat here, but I know, when push comes to shove, I'll be there. Okay, that's what I'm hoping for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm hoping that when push comes to shove, John Tavares will be on the right side of the puck. Austin Matthews will win a big draw when he needs to be. The attention to detail and a defensive zone draw will be there. It's not just going to be, Martin Marincin can't play and that's it. It's Mitch Marner has to do this. John Tavares has to do this.
Well, I think that's an important point, because it's simplifying, and it's totally unfair to Martin Marincin to claim that that's the reason they gave up 23 goals in 4 games. It's not. It was, in a lot of times, Austin Matthews losing a draw clean. Because the best face-off guys in the league are shooting 55%.
Right.
You're going to lose draws, but there's a difference between losing a draw and losing clean.
Right.
Right? Like, that's a big difference.
Well,
and he has been losing clean, and then they just scatter.
Well, and that's,
and they're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to
but
do.
But that's what it is, the attention to detail. They
right.
know what to do. It's just like, I'll get there. I'm not going to get there. And teams are starting to pick that apart. And especially as you get more down the stretch here, teams' systems are tighter, and they know what to do.
Well, Nashville's a perfect example.
Exactly.
Because when they're on their game, they want to win 2-1.
Yeah.
They feel very good about winning 2-1. And Pekka Rene will play tonight. And Freddie Anderson's going tonight. So you got two really quality goalies. You're in Buffalo tomorrow. It's a back-to-back, but you don't save anything for tomorrow night. You get out there and you get after it. And the game can be seen on TSN4. It's Leafs Preds in Nashville. Let's head down there now. And here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. We're just talking about losing draws in your own end clean. How difficult is that to overcome? Like, what's the panic level like? You don't just lose. You lose clean in your own end.
Well, it depends who's standing there. I know, like, if you're standing there in the face-off circle and you lose one clean, you don't feel very good about yourself. You're like, holy crap. Now it's like it's massive scramble, right? Because everybody's got to – you can't do anything. You just – whether you win or lose the draw, you stand there with your centerman to make sure he doesn't go anywhere. But now that you've lost it, everybody's running around – like a chicken with their head cut off, right?
Yeah.
And you And I know on a day that I'm having a bad day, I know my wingers are looking at me, and you can tell just the way they're looking at you. They're like, try not to lose another one, would you? Like, you can just feel it. Like, I hated it when I had a bad night, because you can't, somehow you just can't turn it around. I don't know what it is, but you lose them clean in your zone, and you can almost feel the panic.
Well, it really is a game within the game, isn't it? Like, and it's so uniquely catered to one position. You know, it revolves around one position. And, you know, we were talking about Matthews and how he got burned a few times last week. And on Friday night against the Flyers, it got to a point where in the third, William Nylander started taking draws, even on his offside. Because Matthews
was taking them in the neutral zone, Brian.
Right. Matthew, what do you think happened there, Ray? Do you think that was Babcock, or did Matthews say to him, hey, I'm done, man, you got to start taking draws?
Oh, I don't know, but I would guess that's Matthews saying to him, hey, man, I haven't won one in, like, an hour.
Or like a wrist problem or something.
Yeah, it could be something like.
I've never gone on a streak and said to my winger, I am done, man. You got to. My winger would look at me like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, but oh, I did. Like, I'd go to them and go, I can't beat him. And every once in a while, the winger would say, I know.
I know I'm defending off the draw. That's why.
Yeah. I keep having to block a shot because you can't win a draw. And so there's certain guys, you know, you took thousands of faceoffs. There's certain guys that just you can't win.
Yeah, try being 18 years old, a rake, and playing against Eric Lindros. I remember feeling the stick pressure, and it was like a brick. Like, you couldn't move his stick. It was ridiculous. He beat me probably 100%. I don't think I ever want to draw against him.
You know, we talk about him a lot, but the guy that used to bug me the most was Ronnie Francis. Mm-hmm. Because I played with him. I knew what he was going to do. He'd reach over, tie up my stick, and kick it back with his foot. And you think I could figure a different way out to win, except I couldn't. Time after time after time. And then it's in your head, and you're like, okay, I don't even know what I'm going to do here. And sure enough, the puck's back like a pass to their defenseman, and you've not done your job. So, like, the one thing, though, in the D zone more than ever, or more than any other place, is if you're big and strong like Matthews, at the very least, that puck hits the ice, just take his stick and skate right, like push with your legs and skate right through him. Like, just tie it up. Let somebody else clean up the mess. And then it's on your wingers and the D-man that's on the boards to help you out.
Well, he's got to do what Sidney Crosby, when he came into the league, was garbage at face-offs too, but he figured out a way to get better.
Yeah, he worked on it. That's...
Yeah, and there's, you know what, Gord often talks about this. He always goes through the face-off things and stats, and by the end of the year, it's almost unanimously this, that older guys are at the top of the list as far as the best face-off guys in the league, and the younger guys are at the bottom. It's the same every year, and some of it is practice and repetition. Some of it is you're just stronger, and you've learned a few tricks on the way. Matthews has to go to school a little bit here. Any young centerman, I would say the same thing. You got to go to school a little bit on taking the draw.
Yeah, it comes back to anything. And it's funny that you say, you know, that little voice in your head where you're like, okay, I can't beat this guy and everyone else around. Like, if I allowed a bad goal, I would sometimes hear a voice in my head. It would be somebody on the team going, Noodles, like, mix in a save here. Like, we need one. Like, you know, like, and that's the little things, like, what it gets into your head. If you're having an off night, if I was having an off night, there would be times where I'm trying so hard and I'm trying to stay focused, and I just know that it's not happening for me. So I look at a centerman who can't win a draw, guaranteed in his mind, you know, he's focused and he knows he's trying to win it. He just can't do it. And everyone around him knows it as well,
he's
too.
He's begging for a change on the fly. It's like, change on the fly.
Exactly.
You're yelling at the guy on the ice, change.
Yeah.
Like, get me on the ice so I don't have to take a draw.
Well, and the thing is, it starts to leak into the rest of your game,
yeah,
which is really the most dangerous part. Like, I'm sure, you know, like, the goalies are different, but Noodles, I'm sure you give up a crappy one, and then any shot is an adventure for about 3 or 4 minutes till you can settle down again.
Yeah.
And for us, it's like you lose the draw or you lose 10 draws, and now you're like, okay, I lose the draw. I got to chase the puck. I got to be in the right. Like, you're already thinking past the face-off because in my head anyway, this is what I did. I'd be like, okay, if I lose this draw, where do I have to go? So, like, before the linesman's even got the puck in his hand, I'm already thinking about, okay, if I lose this draw, you know, like, I've already set myself up to fail. And it's because you just get your rear end kicked for literally an hour. Like, you lose faceoffs for an hour. And here's another thing. This is probably not true, but in your head it is. When you have a bad night, it seems like every time you go on the ice, you start with a faceoff. You're like, could I come on in the fly once?
Yeah.
Every time. And in your own end.
Exactly. Always a critical draw.
With Ray Bourque at the point. And if it's a clean draw you lose, he is stepping into it like it's on a batting tee.
Well, you'll also get really good help from the guys, or like the coach or maybe one of your wingers as you go over the boards. They'll say, hey, don't lose it clean. Oh, thanks. Really, is that what I'm supposed to not do?
I hadn't thought of that idea. That's a great call, actually. No wonder. Like, maybe, why am I in my own head?
Maybe I'll tie the guy up. Maybe that'll help.
Yeah. That makes all the sense in the world. Thanks, Pally. Yeah. Well, speaking of the coach, we discussed this earlier, where last week was a tough week. And I'll give credit to Babcock because publicly he puts on the right face. You know, he's not a guy that goes crazy publicly and starts yelling and screaming or tearing a strip off his team, a la Bruce Boudreau or John Tortorella. But tonight feels like the night where it could happen if they get smoked. You know, if they don't start on time and they lose like 7-2. You had a theory that that's just not in his wheelhouse. Like, Mike
I just
Babcock,
think there's ego involved where it's just like, I told them what to do, and they just won't dig in, they won't work, and then it's a tough league, they lose.
Right. Like, he doesn't take it personally, basically, if they perform poorly.
What I've noticed is the last little bit, you know, like there were the comments yesterday about we just need to go out and get better players, you know, better depth players. Like, he puts up the deflector shield okay. Like, he does a decent job with that. Like, you know, that's... You know, I'm sure you guys saw the tweet that Dubas retweeted yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, like, that all seemed to me to be kind of interesting. You know, here, the sheep are going left and falling off the cliff, but the right way is the hard way, and that's, you know, I kind of found that a little bit odd yesterday. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
No, I don't think you are. I don't think you are. And quite frankly, I think that should be considered insulting for Leaf fans anyway. I mean, don't pretend you can't play the we don't have the right players game now.
Yeah.
You can't play that. I mean, come on. Like, this team is loaded with talent.
Well, you go back, I mean, you can go back as far as, you know, you can probably go back farther, but as far as my memory is back to Muzzin. The trade, you know, it's not perfect, but we'll do the best with it we can.
Right. Exactly. Like that's a nice welcoming.
Yeah, you know, and so that to me is like, I wanted a right-handed D, and you got one that shoots the other hand. And I'm not trying to stir up a him versus him argument, but my point is that the coach is going to grind away in the way that he thinks best. And if he can only go, you can only go so many times with trying to motivate or tweak a system or tweak the lines. And then you have to look as like, man, can the team as it's currently constructed, can they get better again? Can they recommit to playing? I mean, they've been getting their rear ends kicked at 5-on-5, which is where most of the game in the playoffs is played. They've been outscored by 9 5-on-5 in the last 4 games. And that's an issue. And if the personnel can't change, which it can't, then it falls to the coach. And the coach has to find a way to get the guys to play a hell of a lot more sharply than they have.
Right.
So I find it really interesting because it's not like they're a crappy team. It's not like they fell apart and they can't beat anybody. But you have to be at least a little bit concerned when you watch the way the games have gone down.
Well, it's the sum of the parts, right? Where you got a scenario here where even with what happened last week, I still think Freddie Anderson is going to be nominated for a Vezina. I think Morgan Riley likely nominated for a Norris. You've got Marner, Tavares, and Matthews who are having spectacular years. And Tavares and Marner are both top 15, I believe, in the league in points. So you got all this talent. All these guys who are having career years or great years. And it's not like they're not a playoff team. They are. They're going to secure over 100 points and make the playoffs. But it doesn't feel as if it's as rosy as it could be. But it also feels, I think what's frustrating is it feels like it's fixable. Where if you look at another team who's in a similar situation, like San Jose, Peter DeBoer sitting there saying, I can't get a stop. Like, I don't think it's that they can't defend in San Jose or that they can't score, you know, or they don't have talent.
I always say a goaltender can save so much videotape sessions.
Right.
Because but, when they go in, oh, look at what else is going on.
Yeah.
It can trigger for sure. But, you know, like Babcock can't claim that he hasn't got the goaltending. You know, that's got to be the most hopeless feeling in the world as a coach. You feel like you can't coach goaltending.
You know, here's the thing, Brian, on that point is like in the last week, I was in Winnipeg. I did a game with the Jets and Boston. Now I'm in Nashville. We got the Leafs, you know, all really good teams. There's a level of jitteriness around all of them. Like just listening to the players and the coaches and the media that are talking about the teams, they're all nervous about something with their team. We know the Leafs best because, you know, we go over them with a fine-tooth comb every day. But in Winnipeg, they've had some pretty good ups and downs. Nashville, they started the year 13-3-0. Mm-hmm. And since then, they're 28-24-5. Like, they're the 19th best team in the league since that 13-3 start. They're a little nervous here. And so I guess my point is, everybody's trying to, outside of Tampa, everybody's trying to get their game in order. Washington, too, trying to get their game in order for April the 10th. But in the meantime, there's some teams that are raking themselves over the rocks here, and Toronto's just one of them. Their challenges are different, I guess, than other teams, but those other good teams, they're doing the same thing.
You're right, and Boston was one of them. Boston, you know, had a slow start again, and then they went 19 undefeated and hit the ditch a little bit, got back on. Vegas had a very slow start. They're 9-1 in their last 10. I mean, you look at it through the league, and I think Ray makes a great point, is every team headed towards the playoffs either have to get going or they have to either maintain it. And these top teams that are deemed top teams, Washington, Winnipeg, Nashville, Toronto, the consistency hasn't been there, and that is concerning, I think, for people that either follow the team or within the team. They're looking for something else. They're looking for answers, a lot of it is.
Well, and some of it, you know, Brian just mentioned about it being fixable or not. No matter what Calgary does from here to the end of the year, they're going to go into the playoffs and everybody will be talking about the goaltending.
Yep.
It doesn't even matter. They could finish 10-0 or stumble their way in, and people are going to say, yeah, it's a really powerful team. They've got a Norris candidate in Giordano and, you know, a player in the MVP conversation in Goodrow, and can they get a save? It's not even going to matter. Yep. And so everybody's going to have something. But for the Leafs, I think they just have to, instead of telling everybody publicly how much they suck, they just have to get to work and say, okay, when I don't have the puck, what am I supposed to do? We're giving up way too many goals. Way too many goals. And that really is, to me, for a guy that was never a defensive player, that has to be where the start of their focus is.
Leafs in Nashville tonight, taking on the Preds. Puck drop at 8. You can watch it on TSN4. Ray, you're going to have the call. We look forward to it, buddy. We'll catch you on TV tonight, and we'll break it all down tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, how about this? Tomorrow I get to fly home for the Senators at Canucks.
Wow, what a game.
Should be good.
So from the Predators and the Leafs to Ottawa and Vancouver.
How does that work? Do you just go right home, change, and go to the rink?
Yeah, I hope you like this suit tonight, oh. You're going to see it again tomorrow.
Double down, baby. Double down.
Just wear it right through. Change the tie, maybe, and you'll be fine.
So this will be the trick. I'm going from a red to a blue tie. It'll fool everybody.
Exactly. That's how I've done. You double down. The suit's fine. You just change the tie up, maybe the shirt.
Shirt and tie.
There was a guy in Australia. He was disappointed that someone made a comment on his female colleague's outfit. So we wore the same jacket for 60 days in a row, and not one person noticed.
Okay, so Keith Jones, when he first started, he had
just a black jacket.
Yeah, he wore it. I want to say he wore it the whole season until somebody finally said, hey, Jonesy, would you get a different color? Like, that's an excellent effort by Jonesy.
And that's on TV, right? You're saying with NBC?
Yeah.
I guarantee you it didn't leave the studio either. It probably hung it up as he left.
No, every time I've ever seen him, pair of jeans, black jacket, and a different tie. All he wears.
It's awesome.
Well, I think Dale Hunter did that too when he was coaching.
He did that in the
right?
NHL. He did it in Washington. He brought like two coats with him.
That's old school.
Well, the owners bought him a couple of red ties.
That's nice.
Because I don't even think he had ties with him. Like, he doesn't care. He's like, yeah, well, I'll wear this. This is fine, isn't it?
That's awesome. Here.
Old Jackie Capuano had a yellow tie that he would beat to death to.
Yeah.
That skullet and that yellow tie.
He did.
Yeah. Where is he now? He's still coaching.
He's assistant in Florida. Florida.
He's
yeah.
down in Florida. Oh, so he's
great guy.
South Beaching it now.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Good for him. Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, I guess we'll tee up the game tomorrow. We look forward to it.
Later.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's the 2019 Toyota RAV4, the safest SUV. See for yourself at Maple Toyota and get rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com. Robert Kraft with one of the all-time ultimatums on the table. This one would keep you up at night. It is a doozy of an ultimatum. We'll tell you about that, and we're putting our own spin on the Serge Ibaka audio. We'll play it next. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Carolina, April 2nd. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you can call in and name that Leaf. If you do, you're going to see that game. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf has played 95 games with Toronto. This Maple Leaf has played 95 games in Toronto. There's your clue.
Great clue.
I don't know who that is.
No idea.
Maybe it's Miroslav Fricher. You hear about this character over in the Australian League or Austrian League? He's coaching a team in the Austrian Hockey League, and during the play, he picks out his cell phone and calls into, like, the commissioner's office and starts complaining about the officiating that's going on at that second in the game.
I kind of like that. I kind of respect that.
Well, it would be great material to hear, like, to have coaches mic'd up and to hear their interaction with the refs. Now, I think they've gotten better, but, like, you always talked about Pat Quinn. Like,
no, before the game. Hey, we got to lay off the refs. First phase, like, you didn't like the way Carey Fraser dropped the puck. You're a coward! And you always have been. It's like, Pat, you just told us 3 minutes ago not to say a word. Yeah. And he'd throw his gum on the ice. You're a coward!
You know who was legendary for that?
Always have been.
Our buddy.
That was the kicker. Always have been. O'Halloran, you're not an Irishman.
This isn't a new development. You've never been an Irishman.
Butchie Goring was like that, too.
Right.
Butchie booed the ref one time. He would stand in the... He would open the gate and stand in there, and he always wore dress pants with no belt and no socks with the deck shoes, and he'd be standing there yelling at the ref.
Peter Laviolette would give it to the linesman, too. If he thought... He would always pay attention to offsides or icing, and he'd be like, that's not offside! That's icing! Figure it out! Wake up! I was like, God... Do these people not have anything better to do?
Well, that speaks to, they would love to call up Bettman. They would love to. They know better than to do it. Miroslav Fricher clearly doesn't care. You know, maybe he owns the team. He could be part owner, and he's just like, I'm calling this guy up, or whoever's the head of officiating in the Austrian Hockey League.
Just losing it.
But
I'm watching it, like, right now. It's quite impressive.
I could see Bruce Boudreau doing that. I could see Boudreau, last game, if he knows he's out.
But did you see his last game where they lost in overtime?
Yeah.
Where he felt it was a bad change. No, he thought it was a bad change. Not that one. The penalty shot was the one before where he thought that Couture put himself offside for the penalty shot. This was their last game.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Where he complained in his post-game media. He's like, the change was, the guy was 40 feet. They allowed a 40-foot change. Well, and they ended up scoring on the play. And Brucey was rattled about it.
I think if you handed him a cell phone with Bettman's number already dialed up, he would call him in the moment and start yelling at him.
For sure.
I wonder how many coaches would love to, you know, call up their GMs during the game. You gave me this guy?
Yeah.
Look at this guy I have to put on the ice. Yeah. Look at this guy. Are you watching? Are you in the building? Where are you? Because I want to lay eyes on you. Where are you
exactly
sitting?
Are you watching what I'm watching right now? You put this guy on my roster. I've got to put this guy on the ice.
Mm-hmm. That would be pretty hysterical.
I would like
mid-game, the coach picks the phone up and starts calling and berating the general manager.
Now, did you make much of it? I thought it was overblown the other night about you know, Dubas's reaction, you know, on the sixth goal. Like,
we never talked about it yesterday, actually, but like, it was perfect for Twitter. It was a perfect meme or Vine.
It was a perfect meme, but like, what's he supposed to do? And you know what? Like, I don't mind emotion, and it just happened to be the right time. They pan to him. He's rubbing his eyes in frustration, like, I can't believe what I'm watching.
That clip's just getting beaten to death.
Well, he could have done that if they were up 6-2.
Exactly.
You know, he's not out there playing.
Itchy eyes, yeah. Like, yeah. I thought it was overblown, personally.
I would think that's likely a look that you're seeing out of Robert Kraft a lot these days.
Yes.
The owner of the Patriots, because did you see the most recent development? There's a report, I believe, courtesy of the Wall Street Journal.
What I saw was, he can get off. But the man has to admit he did it.
He has to admit that he got off, and that's why he was in the building. The Orchids of Asia was not for a bad back.
So, you never know. He could have had a tight hammy.
Maybe. I mean, listen, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Okay, so let's go around the table. Does he admit it or does he fight it? I say he fights it.
I think he should just admit it. I think, listen, his age, society, who cares what Robert Kraft is doing? You know, honestly,
I know.
We've all, you know, people make a big deal of it. And in today's day and age, everything's a 24-hour news cycle.
Right.
It'll be big for 24 hours. And the league's going to fine him and suspend him and all that anyway. And I know he's embarrassed or whatever. I would assume he's embarrassed by the whole situation.
Probably
but,
not.
You know, if I'm his counsel, I'd say, you know, if I was his lawyer, I'd say fight it because then I'm going to keep making money. But if I was just his buddy, I'd say, dude, just admit it, get off the hook and move on with your life. Because everyone knows what you were doing at the Orchids of Asia. And by all accounts, they got video of you pulling out a wad of cash, you know.
Well, not that big a wad. It sounds like you paid $100. Yeah, yeah.
Which, that's, you know, come on. But I think he'll probably fight it because he'll feel like he has to because he's a man of, you know, esteem and an owner.
You know
and
how everything
suit
is. Just make it go. Just admit to it. Nobody cares that the guy went to a rub and tug.
Well, I don't
He's 80 years old. He went to a rub and tug. Who cares?
Some people
There are some
will
people
care.
Doing some garbage things in this world, okay?
But it's,
and I know there might be things going on at that spa with whatever. I don't know.
Trafficking and sexual stuff, yes.
But,
which nobody supports and
one does.
Goes without saying.
But at the end of the day, admit you did it and just move on. Nobody cares.
That's what I would do, but I'm not in his shoes.
I think he's fighting it. I'm telling you right now. I think he fights it.
Well, he fights it, then the video comes out, and then it's going to be old Bobby Kraft with his wrinkly ass doing weird things, and it gets more embarrassing.
What an ultimatum.
You think the video could never come out? He could
His little boiler be out.
Dude, TMC can get anything.
I'm surprised they don't have it.
I'll bet you it wouldn't shock me if they do have it.
He's probably said, hey,
here's a million. Don't let that thing out or pass it to me. I wonder how often that happens. TMZ gets a hand of something and they call up the party involved and say, listen, we've got it. We just paid $250,000 for it. If you give me $500,000, I'll give it back to you.
I don't think TMZ would want to. It's not about making money for them on that. I think it's more about them getting the scoop.
They're the source of this information.
I thought I read the other day
Bezos. The greaseball brother of the mistress who went through the sex.
$200,000.
He got paid $200,000 by the National Enquirer. And some people are saying he got shortchanged. Like he should have made a lot more money
for
than
sure.
That. Well, that's one where, you know, I mean, this is extortion and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to promote this.
And all that.
You would think this guy is obviously greasy enough to do this to his sister. He went through her text messages and found all the sexting and all that kind of stuff. Why not circle back with Bezos?
Yeah.
If you're a greaseball to begin with, why not go to him and say, hey, what kind of price are you offering me here? Because I'm getting $200,000 on the side here from the National Enquirer.
I think Bezos probably would have said, no problem, go ahead. Like, it sounds like this guy doubled down anyways because he knows he's packing heat.
Well, I guess so. And he's Bezos. He's $34.5 billion richer than anybody else in the world.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You know, and he's getting a divorce anyway. It's not like he was trying to save his marriage.
Yeah, I agree.
The news was out. It was done. He's moving on with his life.
Yeah.
All right, so we played the Serge Ibaka stuff in the first hour. Serge Ibaka, he's got a cooking show.
Yes.
And he's had DeMar DeRozan on there. I think Kyle's been on. He's had a bunch of teammates. And the next episode that's coming out is going to feature Kawhi Leonard. And he had Kawhi come out. And let's play the original, Mullen, of just, this is a beautiful tease, beautiful promotion.
It's amazing.
It's basically a trailer. right?
It's the best.
It's a trailer of what's coming up on this next episode of Serge Ibaka. And this is what went down.
Bro, are you coming back next year?
You're silent.
Just dead air for like 10 seconds. So Ibaka goes right to the source, no messing around, and outright asking the question to Kawhi Leonard, are you coming back, bro? Are you coming back next year or what? I love it. This deserves a Pulitzer Prize because he's got the stones to pull out the journalism that we all wish we could pull off.
Yep.
Everyone wishes they could go right up to Kawhi and say, what's the story? Are you coming back or not?
You know he was pissed at that, man. He probably did the guy a favor. He didn't want to go on a stupid cooking show anyway. And then he throws that bomb at him? See, I would not have been happy.
We all predicted what we think he's going to end up saying. Because at some point, you presume that Kawhi actually had to make
a noise.
Aren't
you shocked he didn't say, cut, 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 like, that was taped somewhere and said, that's not happening.
I don't know what happened. You know, there's conspiracy theories out there that it's just being used to promote the piece. And once you watch it, it's not even going to be included. But I would think at some point, if Ibaka just sat there and stared at him long enough, Kawhi's got to say something. And maybe this is what went down.
Bro, are you coming back next year?
Never know.
That might have been what actually happens.
You never know.
You never know. I'll take that right now. I'll take a never know. It's better than a flat out no.
What if it's just a Bruce Boudreaux? Hello?
Hello?
He's not coming back. I've told you that before.
Or what if he just gives you the Lindy Ruff, like just the cough because he pretends that he didn't hear it?
We're just going to play all of our favorite clips.
then play my favorite one, the El Chapo, the judge in the eye, whatever that
is. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, while we're on it, do we have the I told the Grappler to get the Source commercial. Do you have that? It's in the system somewhere. You and the Grappler are always on the same page.
The Grappler.
Mullen was off yesterday, and the Grappler was in here. And he had his elbows up. And anyway, because we're going to be doing a Source commercial this week, right?
Yes.
We were supposed to do it last night, but you went pulled the shoot.
I was shaving.
Yeah, you were shaving. So I think Rachel and a bunch of people from the Source are going to be in. And I've done a couple of these spots. They're great. And
we're not having them on the show, are we?
No, we're going to come in and we're going to record it's going to be a commercial that they're going to be running on the air.
Right.
And I haven't seen the script, but if it's anything like the original.
It's got to be what's all with the paper tie situation.
Do you want to hear the original? We haven't played it in quite some time.
Man, I love those Bose headphones. And I've got to cash in on this Father's Day thing, but how do I avoid the paper ties routine?
Subtle hints, buddy. Works with the wife every time. I packed her lunch today.
Yep, it's all about the subtle hints.
Love it.
The Source is the place for Father's Day.
Hey, forgot the thanks.
Yeah, what happened to love it? Thanks, there.
Thanks.
Get on the mic there, Mullen. What happened there? Why did they cut?
They cut out thanks?
Yeah, that was never in the original cut. That was an outtake.
Are you serious?
Thanks, yeah.
Well, that's brutal.
Yeah, that's
remember Steph false advertising their way in there, too?
Yeah, Steph
was the only good one in the commercial.
She didn't speak.
Well, she went Mike Trout. She didn't say anything. She went Kawhi.
She just sat there.
You basically played the role of Serge Ibaka with the subtle hints, and she was Kawhi. She just sat there and said nothing and did nothing. God, I am such a stiff. Listen to the start.
Oh, it's just awful.
Like, you're not bad, though. Like, you kind of came in and, yep, it's all about the subtle hints. Like, it's not bad what you did.
No, that better was me. Than what you did.
That was me. That was
he followed through on what you said. You said, the subtle, it's all about
the subtle hints. I was very robotic. I didn't like
you were pretty brutal, but I was atrocious.
Let's hear it again. Man, I really love those Bose headphones.
Man, I love those Bose headphones. And I've got to cash in on this Father's Day thing, but how do I avoid the paper ties routine?
Subtle hints, buddy. Works with the wife every time. I packed her lunch today.
Yeah. Not as bad as you think.
It's all about the subtle hints.
Love it.
The Source is the place for Father's Day.
Love it.
It's because it's us and we're hearing it.
No, like it's no good.
No, dude.
It's no good.
Send us your reaction on Twitter, text, email. How brutal
I think it's because it's us and we're kind of critical of ourselves. It's not as bad as you think.
It's not very good, though.
But I told the guy when he was in there, I was like, why don't you just let us shoot the you-know-what? And just kind of be like, hey, you know, all these headphones are cool, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, no, they have this script and you got to follow it. And
well, I'm sticking to the script that we're doing on Wednesday. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we're all very excited.
Do you guys know it?
No, I've never seen it. I have no idea.
I'm going to overact.
You were Nicolas Cage. Yeah. You were the Nick Cage of
Face
that.
Off.
Yeah.
I'm
you were
overact.
Coming
for sure.
Right through the mic, right through the screen with overacting.
What's that movie, Team America? Did you ever watch that?
It's outstanding. It's
one of the act your way into that bar.
It's one of the all-time great
but
movies.
But it is so offside.
I would put that up. It's probably one of my top five movies of all time. It is spectacular. The songs, yeah. The songs alone.
I know, but like it is just, it's offside. But it is act your way into that bar.
Right.
Like that movie was very classic, but I think it's probably classic 10 years ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it meets the standards of our PC culture.
That's what I'm saying.
The South Park guys, but South Park is still cooking.
I think, right?
They're still pumping out South Park.
Really? I didn't know that. I didn't know South Park is still
up and running, man. Kevin tweeting in saying, you got to add the Maradona audio to the Serge Ibaka. Because there's a pretty good chance Kawhi went Maradona on that.
That's true. I never thought about that
one. All right. Well, there you go, Mullen. Let's try to work that out between now and the end of the show. We'll just put forth a bunch of different options.
Kenny Pagan, our buddy, wants Have an Idea from Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah, that's a good one. How about Keith Hernandez?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting
Roar got his tits lit up.
Got his tits lit up. It would have nothing to do with the actual topic or conversation.
No, but he would just... I like that one.
Roar.
He's been awful lately. He's got his tits lit up.
Keith Hernandez.
Bob McKenzie's still coming up. Ryan Dempster will join us. We'll get back into Mike Trout. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, don't forget, TSN 1050's Up Close and Unfiltered series is returning just in time for the playoffs, and it's all happening down at Toronto's Amsterdam Brewhouse down on the Queen's Quay. It's one of the coolest spots in the city. It's massive, right down by the water, right downtown. And that will be TSN 1050's playoff headquarters. And on Monday, April 8th, you can join your favorite 1050 personalities for a night of Leafs and Raptors hot takes leading into the playoffs. And there's no charge, no tickets are required. Just show up on April 8th before 8 p.m. and get ready to talk with everyone from TSN 1050. The three of us are going to be down there. Al, Mullen, all the boys will be down there. And that will really kick off the playoffs because, you know, the Raptors, we know where they're going. They're going to finish second in the East. We don't know who they're going to play. Kyle Lowry suffered an ankle injury last night. It sounds like they've avoided the worst, but he's sore, and now that's one more hurdle they're going to have to overcome because he's probably not going to play much before the playoffs, if at all. But they're a veteran team. You know, they got to find a rhythm. They got to improve some things, but they're going to the playoffs, and the Leafs are in the same spot. You know, think about where we were 7-8 years ago, where neither team was going to the playoffs.
Correct.
Let alone both, and both feeling pretty good about themselves. So we're only a few weeks away from that really starting to amp up. So we're looking forward to that April 8th down at the Amsterdam Brewhouse on the Queen's Quay. Bob McKenzie coming up. Ryan Dempster back into the Mike Trout contract, and we're teeing up the Leaf game tonight in more Serge Ibaka audio. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.